Thanks for joining us, you guys. Good to have you with us. Thank you. JT's with us. Hey, John, tēnā koe, man.
Yeah, kia ora, Del.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today. Look, the situation we're seeing in politics and the move on orders, we've been talking about it a lot, and it's Men's Health Week this week, John, so it's a couple of interesting points. The move on orders and the state of play for our rangatahi is just deplorable, isn't it? It's massive unemployment, and of course we've got rough sleeping, part of the reality for some in that social service delivery space. John, can you talk to that to move on orders? Because submissions close July the 2nd, draconian would be the approach. And some saying it's not even necessary because they've already got legislation to cover off most of this. What are you reading into the push forward of this bill as though it's the most urgent priority the country's facing?
Well, clearly it's not. The point that you make first, the first point you made, is that we have the highest youth unemployment since numbers started being counted 3 decades ago. So this regime that presently governs us has set some of the worst statistics for outcomes any governing regime that has governed this country since the arrival of Cook has ever posted. It's just, it doesn't matter where you want to look, it is a shocker, right? On every, but it's the human costs that starts to play out on here. So from the changes to the criminal justice legislation, where there's no discretion, everyone gets locked up, build more prisons. Youth unemployment are the highest in 30 years, means that these young people have got nowhere else to go. To be driven to crime. Now, this is a cause and effect by a governing regime that, in all of the evidence, knows that what it's doing is going to have such a pernicious and ugly outcome, right? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to work out that every piece of legislation they've moved has crashed the economy, all in favour of a few wealthy people that they're on the payroll to. So, if you look at move on orders, that's just clickbait politics again to a very small cohort that see what some people describe as rough sleepers. When you talk to rough sleepers, a lot of them will tell you that they're a freedom sleeper. You know, it's a matter of choice for some of them because of their difficult circumstances, being surrounded in a four walls. Is where they got abused, either in a whānau context or in a care context. So it's a big bunch of them are out there with significant mental health issues. Moving them on is merely moving a problem around in a circle. There's no outcome. There's no achievement. You move the problem from Main Street Henderson to Main Street Queen Street. You with me?
I can understand it. Living in Otahuhu, we see people rough sleeping, begging. It's quite common. Sad, but common. And they're our people, John. What's it looking like out in West Auckland? And how are you providing tautoko? Not that it's necessarily your job too, but I know that that's the way Waipunaita roll. What are you witnessing out in your hood, John?
Oh, look, we've all got rough sleepers in difficult circumstances. There's three iterations of them, right? Come warmer months, all our young people who've had a guts full of what's going on the home head to the street. So that's one cohort. Second cohort is the cohort that is always falling off the wagon, trying to be good, getting there, and then they have a setback because they've got no headspace. So they either go back on the gear or go back to whatever they were on or doing before. And they try again, and good luck and God bless them. Third cohort is the cohort that I started with to just say, well, these are so broken, they ain't going nowhere, right? This is their lifestyle. And who am I to try and force them into a better housing situation? Now, out here in the West, we've just bought 62 units. We've got an emergency housing situation. So, We can't cure all the world's problems, because we don't have the resources that the state has and state agencies have. But what we can do is do as best as we can with what we've got, and that's all our agencies do up and down the country. When Whanganui was operating well, we could have a whole strategy and know exactly where the hotspots were and then move resource. That was destroyed by this government too, because it was too successful a movement. Any Māori movement that's successful gets smashed by this outfit. That's why they've got to go at all costs, come November the 7th.
Yeah, even though you've been subjected to a lessening of funds for the social service delivery that you've been involved in for so long, I mean, we don't turn our backs on our people, and Waipareira, I know, wouldn't either. So you're forced to tautoko, even though you're funded not to. That's sort of the reality that's being faced here. And these move on orders, as I say, there's already police powers that pretty much cover off everything. Do you just see this, as many do, a publicity stunt in election year?
Yeah, look, I think we keep going around circles on this one. It's clickbait politics. It plays out, sounds nice. They then say, well, we're taking away student free fees for the first year. We're moving that money across to young people. Like, it's just smokes and mirrors. Like, name one thing of substance this government's done that hasn't had a negative strike against somebody who's in the LGBT community, the Māori community, anyone that is suffering any form of poverty now gets criminalised. So every tool in the right-wing toolbox has been played out by this regime. And I marvel at the people. Well, not, I don't know who says they support them, because it's pretty tough to put an argument up on anything, from the crashing of the economy to the crashing of our social fabric to the destruction of our treaty entitlements and rights, all the way through. I think they've ticked all the boxes, haven't they?
Yeah, it does seem to. It's mental health, it's Men's Health Week, John. And I know that this is an area that's close to your heart as well, because we have so many of our guys who don't get to doctors. We've got high rates of heart disease and diabetes and, you know, things that are addressable if the conditions were right. But obviously they're not. What are you reading into the lack of focus on men's health as we move through the week ahead?
Well, men are always seen as the perpetrators of the problem rather than having a problem. You see, in the day that you focus on are people by punishing a perpetrator rather than understanding that from the day they were a kid and couldn't get it, the day that they had a dyspraxia, whatever it was that they just couldn't get, and then they were deemed to be troublesome, difficult, you name it. I was deemed a difficult student, right, and put on suspension and buggered off and all that sort of stuff. But it was just because I couldn't get the jumble. I didn't know this. I suffered from a form of dyspraxia. Now, I was one of the better off ones, believe it or not. And so to treat people who are seeking pleas for help from the time that they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and then treat them as this is a behaviour issue rather than a plea for help issue is one of the biggest problems men have. So then the bad behaviours play out as perpetrators. But you've just created a perpetrator by not sorting out their problem in the start of the event, right? Now, I'm not saying all men are angels by a long shot, right? That's not my argument. My argument is that a big majority of them are salvageable. Okay, you just have to understand the cues and the pleas for help, a bit of support. The number of our young boys that don't have male role models of any significance or consequence around them is another driver of difficulty in our communities, because they've been taught by the wrong people to do the wrong things. So, you know, we've got a bunch of things to fix in our communities. We can do that if all the do-gooders that got all our resources get out of our way.
Tēnā koe, John. What else is on your mind this week, John? What are you prioritising, mate, either politically or with the mahi for Waipareira? Kōrero mai.
Oh, look in Waipareira, we sort of like deliver just on 1,562 different activities in any week across the whole of the framework. So our intellectual property and the way that we manage that is now globally acknowledged. See, we're globally hot and locally not. So up and down our network, up and down the country, I just wanted to do a big mihi to all of our social agencies that are out there that perform better than any other agency. And I'm not for 1 minute putting any other agency down. I'm just saying that whenever we perform well, it's masked, it's forgotten, it's pushed to one side. Whenever others do well, they get glowing rats. So it's about time we started to acknowledge the mana that is occurring in our own communities with very difficult circumstances, but achievements in the most efficient. Efficient means on a cost strike basis, and effective means on an outcome basis, right? So just a big mihi to all our people out there doing it. And don't doubt yourself. Believe in ourselves. And just a matter of time for our numbers count, we count, and then we believe in ourselves, vote for ourselves.
Tēnā koe, thanks, John. I'm looking forward to, I drove past Middlemore again. That's really coming out of the ground, isn't it? The Whānau Water Centre out at Middlemore Hospital must be pretty encouraging. What's a quick update of where that's at?
Well, it's 92 units for our seniors, elders.
Next to the hospital, makes sense, eh?
Well, I've got to be, the closer we get elder care to tertiary services, the better. So that's point one. But they'll be finished in the physical sense by December the 14th. They'll get their CCC probably around February, early March, and elders will be going in there from late March onward. So there's 92 units there, and then we'll be building one of the biggest whānau water centres, ancillary health centres from cancer treatments, day surgeries to post-operative care, all happening out there on Hospital Road in Middlemore.
Yeah, amazing. Watching it come out of the ground.
It's exciting stuff for us. Now we're doing it. No government telling us what to do, how to do it. Just putting it all together. We don't do it, mate. No one's
going to
do it for us.
Tēnā koe. Thanks, John. Thanks for your thoughts this week. Have a good one and talk next. John Tamede, Monday mornings with us at 8:10.